Please open your Bibles now to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Before I read this passage to you, I want to take just a couple of minutes before we get into the sermon today and let you know a little bit where we're going to be going with the preaching over the course of the next few months. Obviously, we spent a lot of time in the Gospel of John and we're done. So we're moving out now into some new territory and put together in conjunction with the Council of the Session a few little topical series that we're going to be embarking on in the summer and into the fall. Probably will take us through the rest of this year. Series that we're beginning today, we're going to call Renewing Your Hearts and Vision. And a number of about eight different messages that will come in this series will take us through the course of the summer. I'll say just a little bit more about that in a minute. When we hit the fall, we're going to start a very practical, application-oriented series on some doctrinal topics. We're going to call it Doctrines That Will Change Your Life. And what we hope to do are take some important doctrines and not just simply examine them theologically, but examine them in terms of the implications of those doctrines for our daily living. You might call it the so what a theology. You know, who cares? That's the war cry today of most evangelicals when it comes to doctrine and theology. Who really cares? Why do we have to argue and debate these things? So we're going to take some of those. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about how this can really make a difference in your practical daily living. After that, we're going to do a little series on things that God hates based on Proverbs 6:16. If you know that verse, you can look at it. If you don't, that'll outline for us the basics of that little series. And we'll follow that up with a shorter series on things that God loves. We're going to talk about what He hates. We also talk about what He loves. So we'll do a few messages on that. And I think those topical sermons will take us through the year. And so I encourage you to pray for that and prepare your hearts for the things that the Lord would have for us. Today, we start this thing called Renewing Your Hearts and Your Visions. And here's where we're going to go with it. We're going to talk today just about the principles of renewal. What does renewal look like? How does renewal really come to us? What is it? What does it mean? Next week, we're going to talk about renewing our vision. We have a particular purpose statement as a congregation, and I think we put it in the annual report every year, but we've seldom talked much about it. We're going to take a look at that next week. And what is our vision as a particular church? What has the Lord called us to do? And we're going to talk about renewing our outreach. And we have a potential outreach program that we're going to look at being involved in starting in the fall. And I want you to know about and be involved in, but we'll take a broader look at friendship evangelism and how it is that we're to take the gospel around us. Following that, renewing our hospitality. Then a couple of other things that are dear to us, renewing our marriages and renewing our families in terms of our raising our sons and daughters. Then we're going to talk about renewing our fellowship. And finally, renewing our personal ministry. How do we use our gifts and that type of thing to serve Christ in the church? So that's the renewal series, eight messages that will be coming to us here during the course of this summer. So, of course, it begs the question, well, why a series on renewal? Two reasons that we want to do a little series on renewal. Number one is, we believe, the elders believe, I believe, and I've had enough conversations with you to know a lot of you believe as well. We need it right now as a church. We need a sense of God's renewal in our congregation as a body of Christ. One of the things that someone has said to me in the last couple of weeks that's really made a lot of sense to me, and it's resonated with some others as well, and that is we are church planting. We are not done. I think the way it was said to me is, we are not done church planting. And when this person said it to me, my first thought was, boy, you're already thinking about the next work. This guy's really thinking ahead. He said, no, what I'm trying to say is, we're not done with the church plant that we did a year and a half ago. We're not done church planting. We're very much still in the throes of that and the recovery from that, and we need renewal from God. And many of you sense that and you feel that. So that's one of the reasons we want to take a look at renewal. Secondly, I think it's safe to say we always need renewal. Why do a series on renewal? This is a relevant topic at any time for the people of God. Until we are perfect, we're constantly struggling to come back to and come into the places that God has for us, doing the things that God wants us to do. We're prone to wander. We're prone to stray away from the call of God. So we need renewal whenever we're failing to live a way that completely pleases God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to get started on this, and we're going to see that renewal is a work of God where He not only restores us to the places and the things that He has for us, but He also along the way restores and renews our souls. He gives us new energy, new passion for the things that He has prepared for us. Ezekiel is a good place to introduce this, so I want to direct your attention into Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to begin reading to you from verse 22 and read through the end of the chapter. So let's listen very carefully now to God's Word. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it. And I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Thank you for these words of hope. Thank you for these words of life. Lord, this morning as we study your word, Lord, my prayer for us as a congregation is that you would create in us a hunger for renewal. Lord, often we have a sense that we need that. Yet, Lord, not often enough do we come crying out to you. So, Lord, today we pray you'd lift up our eyes and help us to see what you can, what you have promised, what you will do for us in Christ. Give us a thirsting, Lord, for this kind of renewal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's several different reasons that a person might have a sense of needing renewal. It's not always the same. The circumstances can vary and they can be different from congregation to congregation, from individual to individual, from family to family. Sometimes we need renewal because we're living in rebellion against God. And that's very clear, of course, when we've wandered from God and when God brings discipline upon us, we're not then in the place we need to be. And what a vivid illustration of that we have right here in Ezekiel. This was written, of course, during the time of captivity. The people of God were rebellious people. God had brought judgment upon them. They were no longer living in the land of Israel, in the promised land. They were no longer living under the blessing of God. They needed renewal because of their rebellion. And there are times in our lives when we're just like that. We can also need renewal because there are times when we're simply worn out. Weariness has come upon us. Whether it because of strenuous work, whether it because of extensive battles that we've had to fight or overwhelming suffering that we've been involved in, sometimes a person simply reaches the point of exhaustion. It may be physical exhaustion, it may be emotional and spiritual exhaustion, but a person can come to the point where they simply are weary in their soul and body and they need to be revived. Thirdly, a person can need renewal because they're discouraged. If things are not going well in your home, if things are not going well at your workplace, if things are not going well in your life circumstances in general, you can get to the point where you feel that you're nearly crushed under the weight of life. And you're simply discouraged about the outlook of where you're standing right now. And in those days, you need to be renewed. Fourthly, you might need renewal because you're distracted. And we don't always even recognize when this is the case. But God knows, and we know at times how we can get to a point where we've lost sight of our priorities, where our vision has become a little bit blurred in terms of what God has called us to. We forget why we're here. We forget the things that we've committed ourselves to in life, and suddenly we find that we're off track. We've become distracted by so many things in and around us. In times like these, we need the renewing winds of the Spirit of God. So how does renewal then come to us? Well, that's where we want to begin today, and this is where Ezekiel can help us. I want to reiterate what I said just a moment ago, and that is that renewal is a work of God's grace. And in that work, He restores us to the places that He wants us to be, doing the things that He wants us to do. And He does it in such a way that there's a sense of strengthening and revival of our soul along the way. So, how does all this happen? What does it look like? What is renewal all about? What does renewal feel like? What are the results of renewal? Ezekiel gives us some important principles. And as I said, as I prayed in the prayer, my hope and prayer is that God would simply give us a vision for renewal, that God would help us to see and to get excited about the possibility that He might want right now to renew us as individuals and as a church. I have seven of these that I want to give you this morning, so we're not going to be able to linger very long on any of them, but let's look through this passage. Number one, when God brings renewal, He's motivated by His own glory. It's a very, very important place for us to begin, and it's where this passage picks up in our reading in verse 22. Thus says the Lord, "It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name." This is why God takes action. You know, it's interesting because our starting point so often is with ourselves, is it not? And our culture feeds into this. We talk about my felt needs and my real needs and my base needs and my perceived needs. And everything is about my needs today, even within the modern church. We get motivated by what we want. And we think that God is first and foremost motivated by what we think we need. So if we're broken down, obviously our conclusion is God will want to fix it for our sake. But understand this, God is most passionate about His own glory. And at the risk of offending you, let me say that God cares more about His own glory than He cares about your needs. God is consumed with His glory. Everything that God does is for His glory. Now, having said that, we understand that in the wonderful providence of God, in the created order of God, in the redemptive plan of God, He has connected us to Himself and to His glory so that He gives us the incredible privilege of glorifying His name. So when we fail to live the way God wants us to live, when we're not in the places He wants us to be, doing the things that He wants us to do, we are failing to glorify His name. And so understand this when it comes to renewal. At the heart of renewal is not first and foremost our comfort. It's not first and foremost our agenda and our pleasure and our desire and our profit, but it is first and foremost about His glory. So here's God through Ezekiel reminding the people that because they have not lived the way He desired, they have profaned His holy name among the nations. And so God says, I'm about to renew you so that I can prove myself to the nations in their sight that I am holy. And verse 24 tells how He's going to do it. He says, I'm going to take you from being scattered among the nations and I'm going to gather you and I'm going to bring you back into your own land. But notice, he says, the reason he's doing that is not because, well, I'm sure you're tired of living here in Babylon. This has got to be getting old. No. He said, I'm going to do this for my glory, so that the nations will see what I've done, and they will know who I am. When God renews you personally, or when He renews us as a congregation, it's not so that others around can look and say, oh, look at the Reformed Presbyterian Church, or oh, look at that man, or look at that family. Aren't they a delight? No. It's so that they might look to God and say, to God be the glory. Look what God has done in their midst. We live for that purpose. It is our chief end in life. Secondly, when God brings renewal, He does give us a new heart. He gives us a new heart. Look at verse 25, 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You'll be clean. I'll cleanse you from your filthiness, your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Renewal obviously involves us. God doesn't need renewal. We need renewal, so we see that to His glory. So it involves us. Well, what does it involve about us? It involves our cleansing. But there's more to God's way of cleansing than simply getting the hose out and washing off the dirt. That's not how God brings renewal and cleansing. If you've ever looked at a city renewal program, you know how possible it is to clean up the outside without ever bringing any effectual change. You can buy a lot of paint, city can invest in new sidewalks, you can clean up a park, you can tear down dilapidated buildings, but if the criminals and the drug dealers remain, it's not going to be long before that neighborhood looks exactly like it looked before the new paint and the new sidewalks and the park cleanups came about. You've probably read about, there's a man, and I don't remember his name, there's a man in our own city of Lafayette who goes around on his own and he simply washes over graffiti. Have you seen some of those articles? That's just kind of his mission. He just goes around and he cleans up graffiti. And he washes it out. He paints over it. He gets rid of it. And then what? Well, then he goes back and he does it again. Because the graffiti keeps coming back. And as long as the gangs are not dealt with, there's no permanent change. And he understands the necessity not just to wash away the dirt, but to clean up. When God brings renewal, He works from the inside to the outside. He takes away our heart of stone, and He gives us a heart of flesh. Now understand that the way Ezekiel speaks in these terms is not always the way we read some of these terms in the rest of the Bible. I think we can understand a heart of stone. You think about a heart, something that's living, a beating that keeps us alive. You put a heart of stone in your body and you're dead, right? A heart of stone is unresponsive. It doesn't move. It doesn't beat. And we know what the Scripture says about sin and the effect of sin. If you live in your sin too long without repenting, your heart and your conscience begins to what? It begins to get hard. We talk about being hard-hearted. Oh, it's got a hardened conscience. What are we saying? Well, we're saying that that heart that once beat is beginning to turn into stone because it's attracted to the world and not to the Spirit that gives life. So Ezekiel says, God's going to take away that kind of heart and He's going to give you a heart of flesh. Now, of course, Ezekiel doesn't use the word flesh the same way Paul does. When Paul talks about flesh, he talks about the deeds of the flesh, which are wickedness and evil. And he lists all the sins of the flesh. But not Ezekiel. When Ezekiel says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, what he's saying is, I'm going to give you a heart that's beating. It's alive. It's sensitive. It's listening. It's warm. It's responsive to the things of God. This is the kind of heart that hates sin and turns from it. So this is the promise that God gives. And this is the kind of cleansing that the Lord wants us to have. And here's a challenge to you. If you're struggling with sin on any level, and it's something that you're having trouble seeing victory, I want to challenge you to learn this verse, Ezekiel 36:26, and I want to challenge you to make it a daily prayer. God, would you take away my heart of stone and would you give me a heart of flesh? You just begin to ask God. This is what God wants to do. He's declared it. You know, you talk about praying according to the will of God. You want to know what God's will for you is? It's that you would have a heart of flesh. So ask God, God, give me a heart of flesh. And you watch and you see how God might answer that prayer. Thirdly, when God brings renewal, He is fulfilling His eternal promises. When God brings renewal, He's fulfilling His eternal promises. Verse 28, you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. This is very precise language. It's language that beckons us to think of the promises of God, the covenants that God has made down through history. This is written, of course, in Ezekiel's day. These promises were first made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our forefathers. There's a context. See, understand that in spite of the American spirit, which tends to view Christianity that it is something that's simply between me and my God, right? It's very individualistic in the culture in we live. The reality is, in biblical Christianity, we stand in a long line of redemptive history. And it's much bigger than me. It's much bigger than just you and God. Your salvation has a context. God promised to redeem the world. Right from the beginning, right at the fall of Adam and Eve, He promised He would redeem the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He made those promises more clear with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be His people, and that their seed would be blessed, and that He would be their God. And Paul makes it clear that these are our fathers in faith. that we stand in that long line of things. So what does that mean? Who cares? Well, it means that God is going to be faithful to His promises. It means that in terms of your salvation, God is committed to you. God is committed to your renewal. You don't have to earn it. It's not something that is reserved for kind of an elite few in the Christian church. It's not just certain people that could experience the reviving winds of the Spirit of God. This is biblical Christianity. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you will and ought to experience renewal as part of your life in Christ. God will renew you because God chose you in Jesus. And of course, there are lots of promises. Lots of promises. The Bible is filled with these kind of renewal promises. We sang a bunch of them today. I don't know if you noticed that theme. Psalm 143, we sang, talks about renewal. God bringing that renewal to us. That's where we began in Psalm 138. You know, that no matter what kind of path we walk through, God is going to renew us. He's not going to let go of us. Some of our favorite promises of the church down through the ages are renewal promises. He will give strength to the weary, and to him who lacks strength, He will increase power. He'll make you mount up with wings like eagle. Why do we love that so much? Because so often we feel like we can't fly. We feel like we don't have any strength left. So we gravitate to those kind of promises. I will strengthen you, God says. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And our soul says, amen. Psalm 23, He will restore your soul. So you look for those promises. You see how much God has said, I will renew you. So understand that your salvation has a very important context. Your renewal is something that God wants for you and He has promised to give you. Number four, when God brings renewal, He pours out blessing upon you. Verse 29, I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I'll not bring a famine on you. I'll multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. So, we said already, we don't start this whole renewal discussion with my needs and my wants and my desires. It doesn't begin with me. But also, that doesn't mean that God doesn't bless us when He renews us. Now, I want to be very careful here. We're not talking, as many would talk today, about some kind of health and wealth kind of gospel message. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be materially wealthy. It doesn't mean that you're not ever going to struggle with issues of health. That's not what this is about. But what God is saying here is, listen, if you are in me and I renew you, you will live a life of fruitfulness. God does promise us fruitfulness. We studied John 15 not long ago, and we see in Christ we're going to bear much fruit for Him. In Christ, you're going to be productive, doing what God has called you to do and created you to do is at the heart of renewal. So when you're renewed, it's not just that you feel better. It's not just that you got a better outlook in life. It's not just that you feel more energized. It's that you're coming back to the places and to the things that God has called you to do. That's why there's a focus here on our obedience. We're going to live in a way that God wants us to live. We're going to be careful to observe His ordinances. Being renewed means that we're being involved in the things that God created us to be involved in. And that has upon it the promise of great blessing. If you are engaged in His purposes, you can expect results. Whether they're big or little is not the issue. But God will put His hand upon your work. He will multiply the gifts and the efforts of those who offer them to Him. Fifth, When God brings renewal, He brings a desire for righteousness. When God brings renewal, He brings a desire for righteousness. Now we're to verse 31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. You will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. It's interesting, isn't it, that God says that renewal will result in us remembering our evil ways and our evil deeds. Or at least that's sort of what He says. Actually, it's more than just that we will remember them. Precisely, He says that we will remember that these things were not good. Right? You're going to remember that your iniquities were not good. You will loathe them. You will hate the things that you did as a Christian that were not right, that were not pleasing to God. Now, it's important to understand this because we can get confused on this point in light of places like Isaiah 43:25 that tells us that God wipes out our transgressions and He does not remember our sins. Remember that? Those amazing promises. God doesn't remember your sins. And you might argue, well, if God didn't remember my sins, why should I remember my sins? After all, Paul said, you know, that put the past behind you. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ. I shouldn't have to remember these things anymore. But that's not what Ezekiel says. When God renews us, He does so in such a way that we learn and we keep the lessons of our life's journeys. We remember that our sins were not good. We're not bound to those sins anymore. They've been forgiven in Christ. They've been put away as far as the east is from the west. God, from a practical standpoint, has forgotten them. That is, He doesn't bring them up. He doesn't hold them to our account. We, from a practical sense, are not bound to them. We forget what lies behind. We don't live with the burden of that anymore. We're pressing on. But our mind remembers. Why do you spank your children? Because you want them to remember that that behavior is inappropriate. The pain of the discipline is not so that they will forget, but so that they will remember. Do you forgive them? Yes. Have you forgotten it? Yes, in that sense. But they are not to forget the evil of their sin. So in that sense, the lessons of the past, our sins, our sufferings, our weariness, whatever they might be, we do well to remember and to learn those lessons. So renewal then, in part, is God helping us to see clearly the road that we have just traveled and why we were there, so that as we move into the future, as we do press on, we might do so with more wisdom, with a deeper longing for righteousness and for holiness and for honoring God. You know, it's not an easy thing to remember the past. It's one of the most difficult things. We don't want to remember the past. We're all about now. We're all about tomorrow. We're not about the past. But we need to remember the past. We've got this time alone with God scheduled Thursday night for those that have been in this 2-7 group these last two quarters in Sunday school. It's extended time alone with God. We're going to come here at 6 o'clock, and from 6 to 9, we're just going to be by ourselves. We're going to break up and spread out over the building and the grounds, and we're just going to spend time with God. And this is one of the things that you can do when you spend some extended time alone with God. You have time to remember. You have time to get oriented in your past, your present, and your future. You have time to assimilate the things that God has been saying, that God has been teaching you. It's these extended times of prayer and meditation that God brings to renew our perspective. And even though this time on Thursday night is for the folks in this 2-7 class, I want to invite any of you, if you want to come Thursday night, if you want to join us here, you come and be here at 6 o'clock and to be ready to spend 3 hours just with God, reflecting and thinking and praying and meditating on His Word. In fact, I've got some just a little packet of material I could give you that would prepare you for that. If you want to come, if you need this renewal, if you want some time with God, then you come and you be here with us on Thursday night. Number six, when God brings renewal, He makes us attractive to others. Kind of an interesting thing that comes here toward the end of this passage. When God brings renewal, He makes us attractive to others. Look at verse 33. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I'll cause the cities to be inhabited, the waste places to be rebuilt, the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation. Notice this, in the sight of everyone who passes by. So He tells us right there, look, people are noticing, people are watching, people are looking. They will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. Waste, desolate, ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Paul wrote in a similar fashion to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, an aroma from death to death. To another, an aroma from life to life. When we are living just like the world hardly notices us. The world doesn't smell us. The world doesn't even see us. But when genuine change and revival occur, and the blessing of God rests on us, when we get serious about righteousness, as Ezekiel said, the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. People will notice the testimony of those who have been revived in Christ. They will not all appreciate it. They will not all be attracted to it, but they will notice that something has changed. Then seventh and finally, when the Lord brings renewal, He gives a vision for His kingdom. When the Lord brings renewal, He gives a vision for His kingdom. Verse 37, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem during her appointed feast. So the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men. What a great promise. Genuine renewal will be reflected in the way you pray, in the things that you care about, in the things that you're interested in. What do you pray for? Right now, what are you praying for? What are you praying most zealously, most passionately about? Look at what the people here began to ask God for when God renewed them. What did they pray for? They prayed for people. Lots of people. The people would fill the cities. You know, during the appointed feast in Jerusalem, the city would simply overflow with sheep. There'd be sheep everywhere. I've never seen it in Jerusalem. Of course, they don't sacrifice. The temple's gone. But Jenny and I were in Amman, Jordan back in the mid-90s, and they have this sacrifice where every family sacrifices a sheep. And we came into town the day before this sacrifice. There were sheep everywhere. Pens and flocks of sheep on every corner. Shepherds walking whole herds down the streets. Every house, there was a sheep tied up out back or in the courtyard or at the gate of the entrance into the place. There's sheep everywhere. You just couldn't go anywhere without seeing sheep. That's the image that Ezekiel gives. That's what the people were praying for. God, bring people into the city of God. This is a good prayer for God's people, that cities would be overflowing. We rightly need to pray for people. It's not wrong to ask God to bring us people as a congregation. We ought to pray that God would bring us people. For a lot of the history of this church, we've prayed for for people. God, bring us people. Bring us converts. Bring us people we can disciple. Bring us people we can train to be laborers and send out into your harvest field. Bring us people, not so that we can say, look how many people we have, but because people translate into the work of the gospel. When we minister to people, that we ought to understand that rightly as viewing the advancement of the kingdom, that God is giving us opportunities to minister the Word of God. Renewal of the hearts always brings renewal of the vision. That's why we're calling this renewing our hearts and our vision. So I want to encourage you today to ask God to renew you, no matter what it is that might cause you to wander from the places and the purposes that God has for you. If you have wandered, even just a little bit, then would you pray? Would you ask God to renew you? Because God will answer that prayer. God delights in that prayer for His glory and for your good. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you at the beginning of this series, we do want to acknowledge as a church, as a congregation, that there's been some sense of weariness that many have experienced. Maybe not all. Maybe some think, I don't really know that. But many have. And we want to pray, Lord, that as individuals, as families, and as a church, that you might bring us renewal. Lord, we don't want to be out of your will. We don't want to not be doing what you've called us to do. We don't want to be engaged in places that you don't want us. Lord, sometimes our weariness is our need for renewal is simply because we are weary or we've been discouraged. Perhaps we've been somewhat distracted. So, Lord, would you give us perspective? Would you help us to see us the way you see us? Would you give us what we need? So that as a congregation of people who love you and are committed to you, we might go forward in the strength of your might. Would you help us to mount up with wings like eagles? Would you give us strength so that we will not fail? For we do love you and we ask you for these things by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.